This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in King County?
So the Washington State Health Department says e-cigarettes and vaping are not safe. The warning comes amid the state's first confirmed case of a vaping-related lung illness. Involved a male in his late teens. He's recovering after being hospitalized last month. He reported vaping nicotine and saffron. And he used e-cigs over the past 3 years. But there's a lot we still don't know.
We do know that this teenager reported vaping with nicotine as well as a saffron-containing product. But our investigation is ongoing, and we do not know the details about the type of vaping device, where the products were obtained, or if other substances were also used.
That seems kind of important, because we do know in the cases of the deaths that have been reported, they've been tied to illegally purchased black market products. Seems like we should probably know what product he used, whether or not they were black market, whether or not they were tampered with in some way, because there are folks who are able to figure out how to, you know, screw around with little pods of e-juice. That was Dr. Jeff Duchin. He's the King County Health Officer, and he says, look, maybe part of the reason why we're seeing more of these cases pop up is simply more people are reporting them.
However, I also believe that something has changed recently in the states that are reporting cases, either in the way users are using products or the availability of specific products that have a higher risk.
So we're going nuts. We're pretending that this is happening suddenly because of flavored e-cigarette products, which is what the president wants to ban, which makes him as crazy as Dow Constantine and Jenny Durkin on this particular topic. I'm not going to give President Trump a pass because he happens to be a Republican or because Democrats hate him. He is on the wrong side of this. Anyone who's using this as an opportunity to go after e-cigarettes is on the wrong side of this. No one is saying they're safe. We are saying that they are safer than cigarettes. It is funny because progressives here in Seattle and King County in general, they've got this harm reduction model love affair. They say people who are addicted to heroin, let's give them heroin injection sites to shoot up while being supervised by government officials, nurses, health officials who are working for us. Because you know what? That at least reduces the harm of their heroin addiction. And yet, when it comes to e-cigarettes, which are used to get off of cigarettes, which are way worse than e-cigs, all of a sudden, oh, I guess the harm reduction policies don't apply anymore. I guess we're stepping away from that. Maybe Jenny Durkin and Dow Constantine, both of whom support a ban on either, in Dow's case, e-cigarette flavors, and in Jenny Durkin's case, she said it was, we got to talk about banning e-cigarettes. Maybe it's because right now, vaping, these substances are legal and shooting up heroin is illegal and they just want to be edgy. Maybe that's what it was. Noah Rothman, show friend, good guy. I was talking to him a little bit earlier today because I noticed that he was on MSNBC. And I think he was taken aback at how dumb the person he was arguing with. Noah Rothman is an analyst over at MSNBC. He's the author of a fantastic book that we had him on. We highly recommend you check it out. Just go on Amazon, search Noah Rothman's name. He was debating a doctor. A doctor, by the way, Jeffrey Wigand. Do you know who that is, Producer Peyton? Jeffrey Wigand?
No, you should tell me.
Yes, I should. Say, Oh, wait, I do know. He's the guy from The Insider.
He's the guy from The Insider.
Yes! Oh my god, that's so weird how you just quickly figured that out.
I remembered.
He's the guy that Russell Crowe played in the film The Insider, which, by the way, is a fantastic movie. He's an anti-cigarette activist. And good, cigarettes are horrible. They're bad for you. But Noah Rothman first said, okay, this is just ridiculous to go after the vaping product.
Well, let's start briefly with the introduction to the segment. You said these illnesses were mysterious. That's really not the case. Scott Gottlieb, former FDA director, said specifically that this is the result of new products manufactured illegally entering the market. And the New England Journal of Medicine study said, showed this year that 84% of those sickened were using THC products that were illegally manufactured. Not something in a distributor.
So you're talking about e-cigarettes being bootlegged and used for something else?
Not e-cigarettes. THC products using vitamin E acetate as an emulsifier to vaporize the stuff. Short effects. This is something that we know that is dangerous for you, and we do know that the vegetable glycol, the vegetable glycerin, the polyethylene glycol that is used in nicotine vapes have a very different effect. This stuff is regulated. The FDA regulates nicotine products. They know what is in them. We don't know what is in these markets. So now the idea here is to expand the black market, which is making people sick by taking safe products off the market. That seems to me to be very boneheaded.
It is boneheaded. And remember, a lot of this is all, well, think about the children. Look at all the kids who are vaping. It's already illegal to vape as a child. You're not allowed to sell minors these products. All you're doing is going after now the flavored pods, which, by the way, are incredibly popular amongst adults who use e-cigarettes to get off of traditional cigarettes. So here Rothman debates Dr. Wigand.
Okay, so therefore, your suggestion is that we should take one of the most effective anti-smoking cessation products off the market because you're uncomfortable with it.
Most effective what? Where do you get
anti-smoking cessation products?
Where do you get these words from?
Dictionary.
It is not the most highly effective product. Just show me the data of that. It's better than varenicline or NRT or Wellbutrin or Wellbutrin plus psychological help or any of the adjuvant therapies that are effective for cessation therapy on nicotine. It is not highly effective. It is not proven to be highly effective. In fact, it's proven nothing but being addictive.
So we have not. So it has not been proven. Therefore, we should take action to take it off the market in order to prove it. That is what your position is. That's what Donald Trump's position is. That's what Gretchen Whitmer's position is.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous position. It's a ridiculous position. And he makes a really good point. We referenced it earlier on in the 3 o'clock hour when we were talking with Jacob Sullum from Reason, that you're going after all the flavored e-cigarette cartridges, but you're not going after the tobacco-flavored e-cigarette cartridge, which means kids who do have access now buying them illegally or getting someone to buy for them will now equate their addiction to nicotine with tobacco and not with, say, mango or mint, which seems especially stupid. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So the former ICE chief Thomas Homan, he came under attack yet again in front of Congress, yet again from the Democrats in Congress, fringe open border Democrats, this time from an anti-Semite. And Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Minnesota. What I don't think she was planning for was him actually getting to call out her nonsense, because she used the entirety of her time to just rip into him so he wouldn't have any time to respond.
As a fellow American, I just want you to know your contribution as acting director of ICE under this administration will always be remembered as one that was very ruthless and inhumane treatment.
By the way, this is coming from an anti-Semite who's going to be remembered as such.
Of asylum seekers, as the author of the separation policy and now of this sick, you know, preventing people, sick children, before this committee, seeking life-saving medical treatment.
Oh, okay.
I will continue always. This is probably the third time I think you before this chamber that I'm deeply troubled by your opening statement and continued assault on innocent lives. And I ask that this administration please stop playing politics with the lives of the children before this committee, but also with the lives of many Americans that are directly impacted by the continued broken immigration system.
That's my job to do it. Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're done. She used up all of her time, so he couldn't actually respond. He wanted to respond, but AOC, who happened to be the chair at the time, gaveled him not to. And so the next Republican, Congressman Roy from, I believe, Georgia, he said, you know what? I'll let you use some of my time to respond to Rashida Tlaib's vicious attack.
First of all, I served my country for 34 years. I saved many lives, and I ran an agency. Let's be frank on what ICE does. ICE, last year, took a season of opioids off the streets of this country that could have killed every man, woman, and child in the United States twice. They've arrested thousands of sexual predators that preyed on children. They rescued thousands of children who were victims of predators. They arrested hundreds of women who were victims of sex trafficking. I am proud of the agency in ICE. And what we don't want to talk about is nearly 90% of everybody ICE arrests for immigration violations either have a criminal history or are pending criminal charges when they were found. I mean, they were found in a county jail, which most likely means they weren't a choir boy. So to mismeasures what the work the men and women of ICE do is, I find appalling that a member of Congress would throw that out there like that. In my 34 years, I've never seen such hate toward law enforcement agency in my life that you want to abolish them rather than doing your job and legislate.
Mr. Holman, your time
if they don't like
expired.
It, legislate. You can't let
Mr. Holman, according to the rules of this committee,
of enacting laws.
Mr. Holman, your time is expired. The chair now recognizes Ms. Hill.
I'm surprised she paid attention to the time expiring because I thought she would be busy again paying off some of her student loan debt. I guess she paid attention. Good for him. Good for him fighting back. Democrats think they're going to win on this narrative. They are absolutely wrong, and that's why it's so easy to push back. When you don't have facts on your side, it's really easy to defeat the other side. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-877. Keep those text messages coming. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, or if you want to make it even easier, text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. Text Twitter to 1-800-465-877. They'll send you a link so you can follow me, Saul Spady, Michael Medved, Ben Shapiro, on your own Twitter feed. Right now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
I'm not lying. I lost it when I saw this next story. There was a package that was getting spread on Facebook. It came out of Tennessee. And it was about a kid who was being picked on because he kept wearing the same clothes to school. The reason why he was wearing the same clothes to school is because he comes from a low-income family and he's growing quickly and they can't afford to keep buying him new clothes. And the video that went viral showed two of the kids who were bullying him actually apologizing and giving him new shoes or used shoes and used clothing so he would have something to actually wear. And I lost it.
I saw you put it in the rundown this morning and I was like, this has got to be sarcastic. And then I watched it.
You lost it.
I know exactly what you mean.
I started to well up. I was like, don't do it. No, don't do it. Don't cry. And then I just couldn't. It is so absolutely sweet. And I think part of the reason it's sweet is how old are they? 14,
freshman,
15 years
yeah,
old. They're... So they're young. And usually they're not very nuanced in their approach to life. They're either bullies and don't understand, or they just happen to be weirdly nice. There was such a story arc in all of this. I thought, we don't normally do this. I'm playing for you the full report coming from Fox.
Awesome. The best day of my entire life was basically.
Freshman Michael Todd was taken out of third period at MLK Prep Monday morning.
I was very happy. I was shocked completely.
He froze when football players Christopher Graham and Antoine Garrett handed him a gift.
You guys are awesome.
A gift that changed Michael's entire school year. Bags full of shirts, shorts, shoes, and more.
He went smiling, and I was like, yeah, I think this is going to make him smile. I told him, I said, you know, when we was in the same third period, he was like, yeah. I said, I apologize for laughing at you, and I want to give some to you to make it up.
Michael was getting made fun of for 3 straight weeks at his new school.
I didn't bully my entire life.
He would wear the same clothes every day, and students at MLK Prep would mock him for it.
I don't really have clothes at home. My mom can't buy clothes for me because I'm growing too fast.
When I saw people laugh at him and bully him, I feel like I needed to do something.
So Christopher went through his closet and grabbed a bunch of clothes and texted his friend Antoine for help.
I got some shoes, some brand new shoes I can give him, and I got a couple items I can give him too.
They packed all that up and gave it to Michael. The shorts, the pants, the shoes made a difference.
This is like the second shoes I have on right now. Basically, that's all.
Today, Michael was already wearing those new army green sneakers they gave him.
It was a weak moment for me. I was gonna cry.
And then I almost cried when at lunch he told me, he was like, you know, you two the only two to actually ever give me a gift.
The help isn't stopping in the halls of MLK Prep. People from states away have seen the video and want to send Michael clothes. All this is thanks to two high school students who want to put a stop to bullying.
Y'all guys are the best guys of my entire life.
So in Frazier, Alexa Lorenzo, Fox 13 News.
Oh my God, that is like the sweetest story ever. And it inspired me last night. I went into my closet. I collected a lot of the clothes I haven't worn in a while, like old stuff that is just kind of hanging out. I brought it to the local Goodwill. It was closed, so I ended up just throwing it in the trash. But the whole idea was I thought about donating it. So I got like 90% of the way.
You know, this whole time I've been hoping that that was going to be like a light bulb in your head. Like, oh, I should stop bullying my producer. I should stop berating him every day and, you know, give him the things that I wish I had.
I'm sorry. I complimented you on your clothing today. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a KTTH shirt.
I'm just saying. So I, who gave it to you?
It wasn't even from you. It was the building.
Oh, you're such a liar. Who do you think told them to bring it down and put it out on your desk?
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah, of course it was me.
Oh.
No one else knows who you are.
I know.
I have no idea. It's like there's this new kid.
You hardly know who I am.
Oh, okay. Producer Frank, why don't you push the button? It's Peyton, actually. No, push the button.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So Apple debuted their new iPhone, which is an overpriced piece of trash, like their last iPhone, which I have, and I hate more than I hated anything else in my life other than my life's trajectory. Twitter ended up talking about this, and they had to put up a Twitter trigger warning. A Twitter trigger warning. Telling people, hey, before you click on this, warning, we're going to show you some pictures of this iPhone, and it might trigger people who've got a phobia of clusters of small holes, which doesn't actually exist, but here's why they had to do that. Here's Jeff Fowler over at the Washington Post explaining the only difference in this new iPhone with the last.
The $1,000 iPhone 11 Pro and the $1,100 11 Pro Max are the same size and shape as last year's iPhone XS and XS Max, but they now come with three back lenses. These Pro models join what I guess is the iPhone 11 Amateur, which has just two lenses and costs $700. But is a picture, even a slightly better one, worth $1,000?
No, it's not. So people were complaining that the three lenses on the back of the phone was triggering their trypophobia, which is a fear of clusters of small holes like those found in shoe treads, honeycombs, and lotus seed pods. As if you guys are wandering around and you just happen to fall upon a lotus seed pod. Going about your day, oh, everything's well, and then you look down, oh my god, that's a lotus seed pod. Apparently, the people who are pretending that they suffer from this phobia say that the images evoke strong emotional responses and induce itching, goosebumps, and even nausea and vomiting. Before people think I'm making fun of an actual... this doesn't actually exist. These are all people who are complaining and pretending it exists. This is nothing. There's no such thing. It's not recognized by the DSM-MD. This is not a real thing. These are pretenders. These are people, and I'm willing to bet, it's driven by millennials who want to pretend that they're victims all the time. And they just love the idea of being able to say they suffer from something, so they're somehow oppressed by general society. Here's how we know it is fake. Number one, have you ever heard of this thing before?
Never.
Never, right? I've never heard of this thing before. And I'm much smarter than Peyton. I've never even heard of this thing before.
If you've never heard of it, it doesn't exist.
Okay. Number two, not understanding the name associated with it, have you ever heard anyone in your life personally suffer from this or know someone who knows someone who knows someone who suffers from this?
Not once.
Not once for me either. That's how you know that this is a figment of their overactive victim complex imagination. Okay? Doesn't actually exist. So just because some dorks on Twitter want to pretend that they can't get through the day, if they see one of these three images, go away. God, I hate these people. Now all I'm doing, trigger warning, on Twitter, all I'm doing now is showing photos of lots of dots.
I'm going to unfollow you.
I'm hashtagging it, screw off. I was going to say something way worse, and I stopped myself at the last moment. Because I'm a professional. Write that down. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text message on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A report in Fast Company magazine claims that actions by some companies and organizations right here in the United States might lead to a system very similar to the social credit system that's being used in China. It seems rather alarming. To help us navigate all of this is Tyler Grant. He's a contributing writer for the Washington Examiner, and he's a senior contributor to Young Voices. Tyler, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, the social credit system, for a lot of people out there right now, have no clue what in the world that actually is. So, first, explain the whole concept for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Xi Jinping, when he stepped into power about half a decade ago, decided that in order for him to effectuate the control that he wanted over the Chinese people, decided to implement something called the social credit score system. And what it does is basically establishes certain point mechanisms for different types of behaviors, whether it's how you spend your money, how you operate in the workplace, how you operate in your social life, and, you know, how you operate in accordance with the police and in the furtherance of the Communist Party. And based upon how the government of China perceives that behavior, you're ranked and given and assigned a certain score. Certainly sounds like something out of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And there was like an episode that was very similar to Black Mirror. And depending on what your score is, if you're deemed somebody that's untrustworthy in the eyes of the Communist Party and in the government of China, you're not allowed to do certain things, whether that's have certain job opportunities, live in certain places, and even travel, which is the big thing that, you know, the Associated Press, mm-hmm. some of the other larger major international news outlets are starting to pick up on as local Chinese people are unable to travel, use trains, etc. So that's a, you know, 40,000-foot version, but that's what's coming in China right now.
Yeah, and obviously it seems like something that can be very easily abused, and there would be some significant pushback if that actually came here. But this argument in Fast Company is that some companies are looking to install something somewhat similar. Take us through the concerns.
Yeah, so last year, I think it was early spring last year, I wrote an article for The Hill describing how it was possible for the same sort of social credit score system to apply in the United States and how it wasn't so tenuous from where we are now. And Fast Company wrote an article where they basically gave examples of different companies that can prevent you from using their particular products or prevent you from going different places based upon your behavior on their products. And that's how it always is in America. I mean, the fact that we're a republic and a democratic republic at that, it's not going to be a situation where people would be willing necessarily to vote away their abilities to go certain places, to travel, to do different things. But based upon the way that the mob mentality is at, where politics are at, cancel culture, it's not unheard of that companies, through capitalism, could exclude you from different activities. Say, and so they use the example of like a patron scan or something like that, mm-hmm. where there is a company that scans you when you come into a bar and determines whether or not if you've had trouble at previous bars, if a company scans you into another bar and they say, oh, no, this client has had problems at previous bars, we're not going to let you in a bar. So over time, you know, if you get a reputation, you know, very similar to a credit score, it could prevent you from going to certain bars, doing certain activities. Similarly with, you know, Uber, Lyft, I mean, you could see yourself getting banned from those depending on your activities, which is not to say
that doesn't sound,
you know,
awful in a lot of cases, especially from the position of the business owner, right? So if you've got someone who is, let's take Uber for example, you've got someone who's got a reputation for being loud, puking in the back seats of the vehicles, now you get an alert telling you, okay, maybe this is not the person you want to go to. From a business perspective, why would you deem that potentially dangerous?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from that perspective, it's not a bad thing. You know, you're wanting to limit your risk. You're certainly wanting to limit your liability. People doing particular bad acts, it's the same thing from the perspective of, like, the Patriot Act, when you say, well, you know, what's the matter if the government looks if you have nothing to hide? Totally reasonable argument until we realize that the government, when given the ability to do something, abuses their ability to do something. And we know that, you know, in every instance that the government has been able to do something. Similarly, with businesses, while on its face it might seem appropriate, okay, to say, yeah, you know, maybe it's fine for, they're only going to limit it from bad actors.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine. But there's perfectly hypothetical situations that you could see becoming a reality as companies say, Delta, for example, or the city of San Francisco decide they're going to label the NRA a terrorist organization, or Delta saying they're no longer going to extend perks to NRA representatives. Well, wait a minute. Those people weren't people that were participating in bad acts on flights or were causing problems on flights. It suddenly was, no. Your political beliefs exclude you from the benefit of something that we're offering. And so you can see how in a situation where, say, for example, a bank was to say, you know what, we're no longer going to do business with Tyler Grant or Jason based upon their political beliefs and how they hold themselves out in the workplace or on Twitter or on Facebook or something. The fact that they're, you know, one of them is pro-life. Well, we consider that to be hostile towards women. It's something that we don't want on our platform. It hurts our brand. We're no longer going to let Tyler set up a savings account or a banking account. Well, that curbs behavior based upon the way that I operate in the workplace, or I operate in my social life.
But that's being done right now, right? I mean, technically, that the example you just gave, depending on where you live, weirdly enough, Seattle is one of the places where political ideology is actually a protected class. But that's not a protected class in the vast majority of the place right now. So couldn't they do that today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that it is something that is being done today and could be. That's what I mean when I say that I think that the social credit score system is not going to manifest itself in the same top-down approach that the Chinese have done it and have done it and will continue to do it. It's going to manifest itself in a way that businesses are going to be coerced and incentivized to police who is on their platform and who uses their platform to manipulate people into doing certain things. Whereas Google somehow figures out a way to say, you know what, we're no longer going to let these particular people on our platform. We're no longer going to let these people get bank accounts. We're no longer going to let these people travel or use our airline. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing to stop them from doing that, because obviously, political speech is something that is protected, but you're not protected from discrimination based on your political beliefs.
Yeah.
So I think I don't see a top down approach, but certainly something that could happen just by the nature of people stopping, not doing business with you. I mean, we saw it with Walmart the other day, where, you know, Walmart takes an approach that they no longer want to sell particular types of guns and ammunition. They're doing that based upon, you know, one, you know, a good faith idea that they want to limit the amount of, horrific mass shootings that happen in America. But at the same time, it's coming from the position of the mob is continuously after them, the fact that they are somehow culpable and responsible for people committing mass shootings based upon the products that they buy at their store. And so if you see that, it's not attenuated to see, violence against women of people saying, you know, which is the kind of language that people use when they're talking about abortion or when they're talking about women's rights and women's health care, to say, well, you know what, like this person that's a pro-life champion at Heritage Foundation or something equivalent, to say, you know what, like, we're no longer going to do business with that person, and they're going to become an economic social pariah based upon the fact of their political beliefs and where they work. And that's not something that's far afield from where we are now. And certainly as we move forward and these companies become more sophisticated with the data that they collect on us and know about us, I mean, Facebook, Twitter, Google, they all know so much information about us with their passive listening, with the way that they collect information and are able to pool information based upon where you go, what you buy, etc. It's not far afield to say that they're going to be able to collect a profile and know who has, you know, good thoughts and bad thoughts, moves forward based upon their agenda that they care about and don't.
Yeah, it just feels like, to a certain extent, the cat's already out of the bag on that one. By the way, we're talking with Tyler Grant. He's a contributing writer over at the Washington Examiner and a senior contributor to Young Voices. His website, tylergregorygrant.com. In a lot of ways, we're already doing this, and a lot of us have already said that we're okay with it, right? I mean, when we decide to hire somebody, I just hired a brand new producer. I looked at his Twitter feed. I wanted to see if there was anything crazy there. And based upon that, you know, there's some either red flags or not. When people are going out on dates with someone they just met, they look them up on Facebook, and they basically find information that all of us are, while claiming we care about privacy rights, we still all put it out there. So what is a solution in your mind? I get that we don't want it endorsed from a governmental standpoint like they do in China. And I think you probably agree that at least right now, short term, there's no indication that that's going to happen. So pushing that aside, you and I are on the exact same page. We don't want the government doing that. But do you have any solutions right now for some of the stuff that's already happening?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first solution is really there needs to be a more of a from a societal perspective, there needs to be people need to separate politics from the way that they conduct their lives. I mean, we live in a world where every single thing is political, no matter what. And I know that that's a little more of a nebulous point, but there used to be a day and age where Democrats and Republicans would sit around the table and maybe, you know, maybe joke about, oh man, your guy sucks in the White House. But, you still come together as Americans realizing that everyone ultimately has the same goal in this country, that we're all trying to effectuate more freedom for people. We're trying to all get home to our wives and kids and provide for our children. That used to be the thing. And now every single thing is turned into some sort of personal vindictive problem where, you know, if your guy wins, I lose. If some policy is affected, that's going to kill people. And if you believe that to be true with every single thing that Congress did, I would expect half of the country to be in Washington inciting revolution every week. But they don't, and they're not. And so you know that some of that is just not sincere, or people are ginning up rhetoric, whether that's from the media or down, and people need to kind of walk back from that. The second thing I think is I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the idea that you should be compensated for your ability or for your posts on social media, meaning that if I post on Twitter or Facebook or my searches on Google, and I'm somehow banned from the platform, all of the compensation that Facebook, Google, Twitter receive for my information after I'm banned from the platform, I should be compensated for. So these companies, even with terms and conditions that allow you to, you know, do everything under the sun, which we all know that no one reads, you know, I kind of read some of them being a lawyer and having some free time, but no one else reads them because you know that you have to have access to the platform in order to do the thing that you want. Like nobody's sitting there reading the Apple, you know, terms and conditions and realizing that you're really only leasing these movies that, you know, you're quote unquote buying.
Yeah.
And like, if people knew some of the things that they're actually giving away on these platforms, that's a problem. You know, we have this concept when we're exchanging, not a concept, but a practice when we're exchanging drafts back and forth on these major documents in a transaction, where when we're getting towards the end of the game and we're almost done with the transaction, we'll only send a change page with like a bright red indication of, here is the difference in what you're giving away. And so every time you say, oh, here's a product update, you get this long new product update from each one of these applications saying, this is the new update to the product. And it should be something that's easy, something that is accessible to Americans, and it's something that state legislators could pass very easily. And then, if you're banned from political speech, then you could say, you know what, fine, whatever, I'll go take my information to another platform, but you can no longer use my information on these platforms. And the fact that those companies can get the adverse benefit of banning you to keep the platform and have the virtue signaling nonsense or clean up the platform, which is a very difficult position for some of them because, you know, a lot of bad things would happen if they didn't police some things, but they don't get the benefit of getting to kick you off and then also getting to keep your information. And I think having the ability to do both would protect it, at least from a speech perspective. I think from a business perspective, we have enough diversity in businesses prevent it from, you know, if Chase prevents me from getting a bank account because they don't like people that are conservative, and then I can walk my business over to Citibank, I think that gives me the ability, and the government is set up to prevent banks from consolidating in such a way where the banks could collude to preclude people from having bank accounts. And I think that we're not there yet on that. And if that comes, I think that we'd have to have a longer conversation about how people believe that.
Stuff is incredibly complex potentially, but in a lot of ways, a lot of it is really easy to understand. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. We've been talking with Tyler Grant, contributor to Young Voices. His website, tylergregorygrant.com. Interesting conversation. I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Bellevue School District is hiring a number of positions, but there's a little bit of a problem. They've not updated their positions to reflect a landmark decision that actually weakens union power, and the consequences are pretty significant. Joining me to discuss is Lee Finnish. He's the director for the Center of Education over at the Washington Policy Center. Lee, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Jason.
So what did you and your colleagues find?
Well, it's very surprising. The Bellevue School District has numerous job postings for, you know, open positions still, that say on their website that as a condition of employment in these job postings, they must join a union. And that, of course, is an illegal posting.
Yeah.
It is arguably a unfair labor practice. And, you know, with a school district this large with that has, you know, a stable of lawyers on staff, you would think they know better than to do this. This is just astonishing. And, you know, Jason, yesterday on Twitter, I tweeted this out to the school district. You know, what did I get in response? Crickets. So I looked at the website. It's still up there. You know, so there's a Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources, Jeffrey Thomas, who works in the Bellevue School District under the superintendent, Ivan Duran, and he's written a little email that's posted on our website that my colleague Jason Mercier found that says they know that they have to update their job listings because it is no longer legal to make the union membership a condition of employment in public schools, and yet the school district has these flagrantly illegal postings.
So there might be someone out there who's saying, you know what, this was an old posting, they just forgot to update it. What's the big deal? So tell us what the big deal is.
Well, it's so interesting because Jason Mercier, my colleague, posted a position in his blog post a few days ago, which has been updated because it's been filled. Okay? And that position had this erroneous language with it. And so they update the position as they're getting filled, but they can't update the language that shows the conditions of employment. That's ridiculous.
Totally. So, and of course, there are some reason to believe that, you know, if you're not aware that you can no longer compel someone to join a union in order to take on one of these jobs, they might actually end up joining a union without realizing they didn't have to.
Absolutely. And of course, the union in this state has flagrantly passed laws with the help of their liberal allies in the legislature to make it, you know, to try to flout this Janus ruling, which is based, as you know, on the lofty principle of the First Amendment that no organization can compel the speech of an individual. You know, no union can do that any longer. The every American has the right to free association and free speech under the First Amendment, and compelled membership in a union has been held to violate those hallowed principles, and that is why the Janus decision came down. And now it is no longer legal for districts to make a condition of employment the joining of a union, and the unions are supposed to be telling, you know, the districts are supposed to be telling people this, and they're not.
How much of this do you think is just happening by happenstance in Bellevue? You just happen to come across it, or do you think this is happening statewide?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know what's happening statewide. I haven't looked at every school district's job postings, and we should definitely look into it. But it's very weird because this is now over a year old. That decision came down on June 27th, 2018. That's over a year ago. All these districts know this has happened. They're updating. I have noticed in Seattle that the Seattle collective bargaining agreement has been updated to reflect that language. So if Seattle does it, certainly Bellevue can do it. There's something strange going on here. I don't like it. It doesn't smell good. It is a government, you know, agency working to misinform people about their rights under the Constitution. And, you know, that's why it's so important to talk about it and let everybody know about it.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, if we're being generous, we could just say, you know what, they didn't realize it. They're just a little bit slow. Bureaucracy tends to be slow. But the truth of the matter is, if the opposite were true, if under the Janus decision said, you absolutely 100% have to include this language, if it wasn't included, people would go nuts and it would be addressed very, very quickly.
Absolutely. There would be yelling, unfair labor practices.
Yeah.
There would be appeals. There would be threats of strike. Let's close the schools down until we get this straightened out. But on the when the shoe is on the other foot, the ball is in the other court, we hear crickets. And it's just not right. This is the First Amendment principle of free speech and association. No one can be compelled to join a union that doesn't want to join a union. And that is the law of the land. And it is shameful that our school districts are not carrying out that law. I mean, really.
Lee Tony Finna is the director for the Center for Education over at the Washington Policy Center. You can learn more about her work and the work that they do at WashingtonPolicy.org. Leave, good work. I appreciate you calling attention to this.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Absolutely. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. You are listening to The Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Really do appreciate it. We will see you tomorrow.